Give it a try. Amen. All right, let's get your Bible out. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. The sound people are not real sound tonight. Y'all have been falling down on a job. Matthew chapter 12. Try to be as complimentary as I can, but you stink. All right, Matthew chapter 12. And if you'll get your Bible and go back to 1 Kings in the other hand, that's mainly where we're going to hang out. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 12. Like always, you think, you know, these young preachers, sometimes they come to ask you, how do you get know which sermon to preach in? How do you know this? And they tell you all that, and I say, I'm in the same position I was when I started. I don't know. I just pray and try to seek the Lord and see if something clicks. And if it does, amen. If I can't get excited about it or interested in it, I don't think you will. And so, but them songs they sang tonight are all about Jesus. And that's what, woo! Amen. That's what I'm going to preach about. Amen. I had an old boy that came to our church named Richard Heron, and he had cerebral palsy. And the way I met him, I was parking out in front of a grocery store there in town, and he had this little wheelchair, motorized wheelchair, old style, you know, looked like a regular wheelchair with just a little motor on it, not the fancy ones they got now. And he had a little thing over here, a little toggle switch thing, not toggle switch, joystick thing there. Anyway, but his head always hanging to the side, and he's drooling out. He's got bad cerebral palsy, and he's jerking around. Every time he did anything, he flopped around. He seatbelted into his own chair, you know. And so I saw him, and I thought, well, I'll say hi to that boy. And I walked up to him. I said, hey, buddy, how you doing? And he goes, and he's pointing at his pocket. Yeah. Woo! And so I picked one out, and he had made a sermon. I mean, like a gospel track on his own, and went to a printer, and it says, I want to introduce you to my best friend. Amen. Open it up, it's Jesus. Man, here's that old boy in a wheelchair, goes around town, little flag up there so the cars don't run over him. He goes all over town getting people, and asking people to, woo!
Yeah, hallelujah.
I said, man, where you go to church? He said, First Baptist. I said, well, he didn't say it that good. He just told me he was going First Baptist. I said, you come to ours. You won't come to ours? And I said, he goes, yeah. So we had him for a long time until he moved to Dallas. He was in really bad shape, had to have a lot of problems. But you know the story. You know if a guy like that can do something for Jesus, what in the world's wrong with the rest of you people? Amen? Ah, man, put me under conviction big time. I thought, woo, man, that little old boy, he tried to preach. He said, I want to preach. And I thought, my soul. So I let him preach. I wheeled him up there. Well, you did. Did you know Richard? Oh, my soul. You knew who I'm talking about then. But he'd wheel up there and run. You couldn't understand hardly anything. But I was crying and amen. And amen. Phew. He'd do something. I get kind of tired. Us pastors, you know, I had a lady at her church, elderly lady who was driving. Probably should have quit a long time ago, but she got in a wreck. And she's calling me, can you give me some advice? Can you help me? And I'm up here in Delaware, and I'm trying to arrange things for her back down there. And you know, a lot of your Christian service is helping somebody. Trying to help somebody. And I'll try to be a help to you tonight. I think I will. Matthew 12, verse 42. Just that one verse, and we're going to talk a little bit about it and then go. Matthew chapter 12. Look down all the way to verse 42. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Hey, man. This is what I want to preach about. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I'm going to have a tough time, I already tell. You listen if you can get past it. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for the one I'm going to turn to in Kings. And I pray your Holy Spirit to help me, give me the power, the unction, the anointing I need to be able to say something that everybody here get something from the Spirit of God doing miraculous work and preaching to everybody something in their heart that might need to get right or just do better at. And I pray your Holy Spirit would help me to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen to that. You might not realize what he just told those Pharisees there. You know what he told them? He said, there's a Gentile woman going to judge you at the judgment. Yep. Now to a Jew, that's worse than having a dog judge him at the judgment. They call Gentile dog. And he said, not only that, she's a woman. Yep. So there's a Gentile woman going to judge you guys. Yep. And so he said, but a greater than she came. She had enough sense to come and see Solomon. Now go back to 1 Kings, if you would, chapter 10. We're going to see that event where she came and to Solomon. And just take a little exegetical outline on this. You ever learn all them fancy words? That almost made me sound intelligent. I was like one guy said, I was educated once, but I got over it. Some people never get over it. They can't seem to get over an education. 1 Kings chapter 10 now, if you go back there. And, you know, if you want the truth, God will get it to you. Yep. Acts chapter 10 proved that. Cornelius was there in Acts chapter 10, and he'd been praying and seeking God, and God sent a missionary to him by the name of Simon Peter, sent him all the way down there. Cornelius went all the way down to tell him words whereby thou shalt be saved and everything. But you know, a guy seeking the truth, God will get it to him. The light of the gospel. Didn't say the gospel appeared unto all men, but the light of the gospel hath appeared unto all men. That means God will give you a little light. A little more light. You say, well, you walk a little bit toward it. You know why people don't come there? Because Jesus said, John 3, because your deeds are evil. Some of you are stuck because God showed you something, and you said, I ain't going. That's it. I'm gone this far. One old boy said it. And it's true, you are just right now as spiritual as you want to be. Yep. You think us preachers are spiritual? We're really not. We just dress fancy and get paid to be stand up here and yell at you. But I mean, I know spiritual people, buddy. There's a lot of women and men at our church, and I know some here that they are wanting to do something for God. I think I heard this last night talking about being a servant. I'll say more about that later in the message, but you say, well, I just want to have a servant's heart. I just want to be a servant. Yeah, you do until somebody treats you like one. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you're the fourth member of the Trinity, and who do you think you are to tell me that? Who do you think you are to cut me off in traffic? Don't you know who I am? I always liked that one guy, and he bumped into another guy in the parking lot, put a little dent in his car, and he jumped out, and he looked at each other, and he looked at that. He said, well, do you know who I am? And the guy goes, no. He said, good. He jumped back in and drove off. We're going to catch him. Amen. But there are several types of Jesus in the Bible, as you know, in the Old Testament. Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ. King David was a type of Jesus Christ. But all of them fell short. Jesus is the greatest. He is the greatest. And those songs y'all sang, I kind of confirmed what I was going to, that what the lady sang there and that one man. Anyway, what they did, that kind of confirmed it. And the songs that were picked out for the, I said, well, I'm going to preach about Jesus. That's what I'm going to do. That song's all about him. Anyway, but Joseph, you know, he lied about that cup and that sack, you know, the seed. And David, you know, his sin is pretty well known. Most people don't have to ask any question about that. Solomon is a type of Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at him as a type of Jesus Christ here. And let me say this. I'm getting older. Brother Jim just got officially old. He wants all the rights and privileges that come from being old. All right? So you say, yes, sir, help you cross the street, old man, and things like that. And you be nice to him. He's officially old. But you know the problem with getting old, as far as, not outside of physical, but you ever notice all the people in the Bible, when they got old, they backslid? Solomon's one of them. David, when he became king, you know what he did? Got out of the fight. Time when kings went forth to battle and David tarried at home. But there comes a time when you think, okay, let the younger people do it. Let them take over. No siree. You stay with it until you can't stay with it. I mentioned this the other day. There ain't no retirement plan. God never set retirement. Moses didn't even get started till he was 80 years old. He never even got into ministry till he was 80. You're qualified, brother. Anyway, overqualified, some of you. But you know something? I mean, these guys got old, and I figured it out. You know what's the problem with every one of them? They just wanted to get out of the fight. Get out of the fight. When they got out of the fight, Solomon had 1,000 wives. He was tired of fighting them. And man, that old boy, he wrote That's the truth, man. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And then after that, went and served Moloch and the false gods and put up idols and fell into idolatry. After that, because he got old. You know why? He just, the fight went out of him. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't want to ever do that. When I started off when I was younger in the Lord, and I was street preaching and passing out tracts. Before I even went to church, I was street preaching and passing out tracts and witnessing. I didn't even know to go. I didn't have a church to go to much. I'd bounce around from here to there. I'd go door knocking on my own, passing out tracts. Say, what would they do if they got saved? I said, I don't know. They'd save them from hell. I don't know what God put in me, but apparently he didn't put it in many, very, very many other people, because most people don't want to go out and tell people about Jesus. I've learned that the reason you don't want to talk about him, you don't love him. Now, the reason you don't love him is it tells you over there in 1 John, you know what it says? We love him, why? Because he first loved us. If you dwell on how much he loved you, you can't help but love him back. Amen? Somehow, it just amazed me. You see me up here in this nice suit, man, and I look all presentable, a little gray hair for the, a little bit of extinguished look, you know? That's what one of the guys, Brother Bennett, told me. He says, Brother Stocker, that makes you look really extinguished. He meant distinguished for all you that don't know what the difference. Anyway, but extinguished means you put the fire out. Some of you girls going, go to public school, don't you? Yeah. At any rate. So anyway, I look all right, but you didn't see me before. No, Brother Mark, you got a picture of him, but B.C., he calls it before Christ. You didn't see me before. After he got saved me, cleaned me up, did something with me, and gave me a good wife and people that love me, and I'm sitting there thinking, my soul, God's been awful good to boy. I can't help it. I mean, sometimes I guess you didn't get saved, or you didn't get what I got, or you don't appreciate it. Maybe you're just saved as I am, and you're just sorry. You know, that's all. You're just rotten. And you're an R word and you're all kind of things. So I can't say them no more. But as you get older, you got to watch it because you don't want to have to fight anymore. Sunday school class you got and you say, well, it's time I kind of give it up and let the younger crowd. Well, I've been doing this. It's time for somebody else to take it over. Nobody says yanks you out of a class except the pastor. If he tells you, you can't make it up and down the stairs, you can't do this or something, he might say, let's let it go and you can do something else. Amen. Do something different. Amen. Don't mean you can retire. You do something different. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I can't do anything. I preach at the nursing home. I go down to the nursing home and I preach them old folks down there, them old geezers, and I tell them, get saved. You're going to burn in hell. I got kicked out of a nursing home for telling them they need to get saved from hell. Anyway, not the one I'm at now, but at any rate, I preach to them, and I tell them, all right, all you old goats. I said, I'll tell you right now, you better start praying for me. I said, because I need it, and you need to pray. And so I'd give them all gospel tracts and say, now, when you go back to your room, you stop by somebody. I said, they'll listen to you. They're not going to listen to me, but they'll listen to you. I mean, you're in the same boat they are. I don't give them a nickel, man. I said, shoot, God didn't, you're still breathing. God wants you to do something. Amen. Amen. Hey, this ain't going over very well, as I hope. I'm going to have to preach to these guys back here, where they people that need it. But anyway, back in 1 Kings chapter 10, we'll get going here. Well, thank you very much. All right. Verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba, chapter 10, verse 1, 1 Kings. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. I got a little underline on that. You know what? She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning what? The name of the Lord. Didn't say his fame yet. It just said the name of the Lord. I mean, God had a name there. They knew that place is where the Lord is. She came to prove him with hard questions. Now, Pharisees and Sadducees tried to trip up Jesus Christ, always trying to catch him at his words. I mean, every time he went to the temple, went to the temple twice and cleaned the place out with a whip. You know, they said, well, whip was for the animals. My foot, whip wasn't for no animals. Animals always obey God. They always obey God. It's them people that don't obey God. You know, you got better dogs and horses than you are. They'll all do what God tells them to do. You and me, we're the ones that's a problem. God tells you to do something, well, I don't know. I think that might not be a good idea. Yeah, I know your problem is you're trying to think. You don't have any problem. God said, I'll have a battle of wits with you. I said, man, you're an unarmed man. You're going to have a hard time whooping anybody. But anyway, now look what he said. You know what? He cleaned it out, and the Pharisees come to him and said, who gave you this authority? Who are you? Who do you think you are? And who gave you the authority to throw them people out of there? He said, I'll tell you what to do. I'll ask you a question then. And he said, if you can answer that, I'll answer you. Yep. And they said, all right. And he said, you know, David, King David wrote back here in the Old Testament in the Psalms that the Lord said unto my Lord, and who was that? He said, well, that was the Messiah, the anointed. He said, if David calls him Lord, how is he then his son? And they couldn't answer him a word. That was one place. And this one here, John the Baptist is what he asked him on this one. He said, John the Baptist, whose was that baptism, heaven or hell? Hell of man or of God? And they couldn't answer him. Every time he asked him a question, they couldn't answer. Every time they asked him a question, he either answered it or tripped them up. Anyway, but you know, he's confronted by the devil over there in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. God pulled out his old 44s and shot him clean off the saddle, buddy. I mean, that's how you remember things. Y'all don't know how you remember things? Association, you know. And the 44s in the Bible. I got that from Roloff. He said, God pulled out his old 44s and just shot him. And, you know, there in Luke 4:4 and in Matthew 4:4 basically says the same thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And Jesus pulled out his old 44s and shot the old devil right out of the saddle. Every time somebody confronted Jesus, he won every battle, using the word of God, and he won every battle. Yep. She come to prove him with hard questions. There's no question you're going to ask Jesus Christ that he can't answer. You know, they always say, you know, trying to figure out the answers to life's questions. And one old boy said, yep, when God was creating the world, he made 1,000 questions, but only 750 answers. I mean, there's some things you're never going to learn. Amen. You know, you people are really a dud. I think I'm going to have to get you all up and turn around twice and shake hands. Let's do that. Jesse, get over on the piano. Hang on. I'm going to shake this bunch of yo-yos up. Amen. Get on the piano. Play something. All right. When he hits first note, everybody get up and shake hands with somebody else, you bunch of duds. Amen. Let's go. Let's move it. Move it. Move it. Huh? They may be losing, bro. I want at least a smile. Amen. Oh, amen, buddy. Amen. Sit him down. All right. All right. Have a seat there. Amen. If nothing else, you met somebody tonight. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Now, where was I before I so rudely interrupted myself? Preaching on Jesus. And I'm talking about David. He called him Messiah. I'm on down to 44s. Yes, sir. Luke 44. And Matthew 44, it's kind of like Eutychus fell out of the third floor loft. You remember that? And you know how you remember Eutychus' name? Because he fell out there in the book of Acts and it take him up as dead, the Bible says. Well, Eutychus too, if you fell out of the third floor. So that's how you know Eutychus' name when he come out. That's how you remember things. Well, Luke 4:4 and Matthew 4:4, Jesus pulled him out and shot the devil down. And let me tell you can't ask Jesus a question that Jesus can't answer. He may not answer you right away, but he can answer it. And listen, when I was, just after I'd been saved, I got influenced with a charismaniacs in the Church of Christ. And I couldn't answer him. I was working with an old boy who was a Church of Christ, ex-Church of Christ preacher. And I wanted to get him a tract. I said, oh boy, he's a good prospect. And so I'm going to give him a gospel tract. And so I give it to him, and he goes, oh yeah? You ever been baptized? And at that time, I hadn't even been baptized. And I said, no. He said, well, you're not going to heaven. You're lost. I said, really? He said, yeah. You ever read Acts 2:38? I go, no. What's it say? He told me, and I said, hey, he said, what about 1 Peter 3:21? I said, I don't know. And he said, what about Mark 16:16? I said, I don't know. He said, what about Romans 6:4? And I go, beat the fire out of me. I never read it. I didn't even read much. I never read the Bible through first time ever in my life. And so I thought, I don't know. I went back home thinking, man, maybe I got to get baptized. So I called all these different people, and I tried to ask some folks, and then I was loaded for bear. I had him in Acts chapter 10 where they got saved before the Gentiles, and I said, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I called him back up. I said, hey, I want to talk to you about that. And he says, I don't want to talk about it no more. And I thought, you dirty rat. And I was, but I'll tell you something. I was talking to these charismaniacs over in another town, Hereford, and I was in with a group, a friend of mine was involved with it, and he invited me, and I went, and I was kind of, and this preacher was there, and he was smart. I mean, he knew a lot of Bible. All he had to know was one whole verse, and you know more than I did. But I was preaching against it. I said, ain't right. It ain't right. And they said, well, say it's of the devil. I said, I ain't saying that yet, because that don't sound too good. And so I said, I'm just against it. I don't think that's right. What you're doing is just not right. Anyway, and so this guy about had me convinced. He used that Romans 8:26. You remember that verse over there? It says, we know not what we should ask for as we ought, but the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he said, that's a tongue. You've got to have tongues. The Holy Ghost making intercession for you. And that's what it is. You're praying in intercessory prayer, and you're praying in tongues with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I thought, oh, man, I've been wrong. I'm going to have to eat crow. And then I got this idea. So in my head, I got the idea. I don't care. They're wrong anyway. But then I thought, that ain't right. If they're right, they're right. I'll just have to eat crow. Anyway, and a little bit what happened was the old boy, I started checking around with some folks, and a guy read it to me. He says, let me read that verse for you. And he read it. It says, with groanings which can be uttered. And I said, it don't say can. It says cannot. And the little light bulb went on. Amen. And I go, hey, I don't have to eat crow. I'm going to win this argument, man. I went back over, and I loaded up on him. And then he was in a position to where he had to, and he didn't want to talk about it anymore. Now, that's what God will do with you. God will give you a little light like that, and he'll draw you to a place, and you think, oh, my, maybe all I've been doing is wrong. I had a Catholic priest I talked to a long time ago like that, and after about 4 hours of talking, he said, you going to tell me that everything I've been preaching for 20 years is wrong? I said, well, what does the Bible say? He said, I don't care. I've been preaching for 20 years, and I ain't going to quit now. And I'll tell you, that'll be your problem too. You'll come up against something that you can't answer, and it looks like you're wrong, and you're studying it, and all of a sudden you think, man. And then the question is, are you going to just go ahead and believe right, do right, or are you going to quit? Now look, we got to hurry up. Boy, he turned me on in the sound booth way. Anyway, I had to explain that. People out there got the wrong idea about a lot of things. Verse 2. Ain't my fault he hit that button. I don't. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her head. Now, if you ain't got a Bible, you don't know what I just misread that. It didn't say head, it said heart. She didn't need to know algebra or trigonometry or calculus, or she didn't need to know a geometry question or a geography question or anything else. She needed to know the questions in her heart. Now, let me tell you, especially you young people, you know what? You need to get some answers to some heart questions. You're going to say, God, number one, should I get married? If I do, who should I marry? And let God help you pick out a spouse. I mean, you don't go by your heart. Your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Bible says you trust in your own heart. You're a what? Anybody know? You're a fool. And every psychiatrist in the world will tell you, just trust your heart. Trust your heart. And Bible says you do that, you're a fool. You know what? You better pick a godly young man a godly young girl that goes to church. Because you say, well, after I'm married, they're going to go. No, if they ain't going without you, they won't go with you for after about 6 months. They'll go a while and they'll drop out. They'll get what they're after and then they'll say, oh, I don't do that anymore. She communed with all that was in her heart, not her head. Her had heart questions. Should I go to college? Or what are my purpose in life? You know, when the Apostle Paul knocked flat to the ground and he got saved, you know what he said? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And God didn't say, well, I want you to do this, go preach here in Rome, preach over there in Jerusalem, preach up here. He didn't say any of that. He said, you go up there in the town, I got a guy there to tell you what to do. Isn't that something? He said, you just do the next step, and when you get there, I'll tell you some more. Amen. Now, every last one of you, you know what you're doing right now? You're doing the will of God. Amen. Would God want you to be in church tonight? Amen. All right, you did right. You're liable to find out something. One of us, a preacher, somebody, song, will challenge you and say, man, you need to do this or quit that. And then you got a decision to make, whether you're going to do it or not. And I've noticed some resistance in here. No kidding. I asked them, I said, you notice everybody's kind of cold? And they said, well, yeah, they're just waiting until Friday to blow up. Well, I ain't going to be here for your blow up. I might just pray against it. Amen. You have a fizzle out. Anyway, no, I ain't going to do that. I hope you do get all excited. But my soul, folks, you need to get a little more lively. Anyway, well, that's true. Anyway. God gave him instructions, go into town, do what he says, I'll tell you there. That's what you need to do. Let's look at another thing, verse 3. I'm hurrying along here fast. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. When the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, the house that he had built. Ain't that a blessing? You say, what house is Jesus building? I got a mansion in glory. I got a mansion over the hilltop. I don't have a little cabin in the corner of glory land. Buddy, I got a mansion. I got something I'm looking forward to. Got my name on it, on the mailbox. I'm going to make it. And it's the best house that anybody can make. Listen, I got one. You got one. Now, you had a new big old mansion in your house. You got some pretty classy joints running around here, right? I mean, if you had one of them and somebody said, you know what you do? Come and look at my house. I just bought a new house. Let me go see it. But, you know, people are not excited about their new house. I hear preachers say this. I don't think it's true necessarily, but good ideas. Some of y'all are going to get up there and there's no furniture in it. You get what you send up. So I built the house. I ain't furnishing it for you. One old guy said, righteousness of the saints, you know, fine linen, righteousness of the saints. Some of y'all will be up there in a bikini. I mean, that's after you get saved. You ain't done nothing. You be. Well, I heard a guy say that, so I thought it was good. So if it's a dud, it ain't my fault. Amen. But I've seen some pretty houses. I've been in different countries and palaces, actually. But you know something? I've seen pictures of the Taj Mahal. You all know what that is. That's a fancy place over in India. Anyway, it's a mortuary. That's what the thing is. But it's supposed to be the fanciest building in the world. I thought to myself, I said, that wouldn't even make a good outhouse in heaven. I mean, listen, I mean, that old place. I mean, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. You love him? You can't imagine. That Taj Mahal, you say, is pretty? Ain't nothing like what he's done. He's a carpenter by trade. He's in the construction business. When he was growing up, I think he'd be able to build you a pretty nice place. He got some good material, gold, silver, precious stone, all that stuff going up there. Another thing, look on down a little bit in verse 5, and the meat of his table. Now we're getting the good stuff. The meat of his table, marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible says about we're going to eat when we get to heaven. That's a blessing. You know something? People like to eat. Jesus, when he got a new body, he ate fish and honey. One of the pleasures of life is a good meal. Wouldn't you think? Amen. Some of you look more pleasurable than others. You've been more pleased. At any rate, big old, think about a big old juicy steak, about medium rare. Yay, man. Corn on the cob. Sweet corn on the cob. Mashed taters. Man, that's good stuff. No salad. No salad bar. Bible says they were not accounted anything in those days, you know. And cherry cheesecake might make it in. Sweet tea, not stupid old. People around here don't know about sweet tea. I say, well, you can add sugar. It ain't the same. It just ain't the same. Good bread, I mean good bread. You say, how's good bread? It's right when you quit calling it dough and you call it bread. Stop right there. That's how I like mine. My wife just opposite. She says, you know, when it's brown, it's cooking. When it's black, it's done. I mean, she likes it crusty and crispy. And I like it just barely called bread. Just stop right there. Anyway, and I told her, I said, that's why you like me and I like you. You're soft and I'm old and crusty. I said, you like crusty and I like soft. I said, we done made a good deal. Both of us are pleased. But we got the greatest master chef. He's cooking up us a meal. And not only that, he's the greatest waiter. Do you know that? He's the greatest waker. He said, you know what he said? He said, make them sit down to meet and I will come forth and serve them. That's just like the Lord. He took on himself, woo, the form of a servant. Like I said, some of you think, oh, I'm a servant until somebody treats you like a servant. Get over here and get that. Say, please. Right. Miss Servant done messed up, didn't you? Amen. But you know Jesus is going to sit down. You say, well, why does he do that? You know, he washed Peter's feet. He washed their feet, you know, the disciples. Why does he want to do stuff like that? Well, it pleases him to see us pleased. That's just like your children. Amen. You mamas will understand this if you can cook, I hope. Anyway, and you know what it's like. You know what it is. You mix a nice old meal for Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that, a special occasion. You fix a nice meal, and them little rugrats jump up on the up there, and they begin to eating and chomping down at steak or chicken or something. And it just pleases you, doesn't it, ladies, to see them really like your food. Amen. You know what Jesus is going to do? He's going to serve you, and he's just going to watch you eat. Amen. And it pleases him.
Amen.
Whew. Can't understand that one. We better go. Verse 6. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. You know, us preachers been preaching a true report about Jesus Christ. There's been preachers, all of them, R.G. Lee, Jack Hiles, Bob Jones, Ruckman, Billy Sunday, Talmadge, Prince of Preachers, called Spurgeon. But all of us fall short. All of us fall short. I've heard people lift him up, but they ain't lifting it up high enough. I've heard preachers tell about how he lived and how he died. They hadn't done justice to how he really is. Amen?
Amen.
I've heard preachers, but they preached about and told the truth about his sinful life, sinless life. Which of you convinces me he sinned to a bunch of his enemies? Now you try that on some of your enemies. Oh yeah, point out where I've sinned. But they got a list.
Yeah,
they can point him out real good. He told his enemies, which of you convinces me of sin? But they didn't say a word right after that. And then we hear a true report about a sacrificial death on the cross, him dying in my place. That's a true report.
Amen.
It's good. His bodily resurrection, you know, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. But you know what he said? With all that, a little bit later it said, but the half was not told. Isn't that something? She said, oh, you all preaching, that's true. But it's only, the half hadn't even been told.
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
I mean, the best we can do, he did better. Let's look at verse 5. We got to hustle. I'm looking at that clock, and I got to give Brother McGahee some time because Brother Allen back here is going to sing for 40 minutes and give Brother Mark 10. Amen. Amen. I know that rascal. I know what he'll do. Amen. I mean, I'm supposed to tell the truth, ain't I? That's the truth right there in the Bible, whether you like it or not. I'm going to preach the Bible. Amen. And the meat of his table, it said, and the sitting of his servants. Amen. And the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and the cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up. Now that's something. His ascent by which he went up. Jesus went up. I mean, he went up twice. Once he came out at the night, and he took led captivity captive. He shot up to the third heaven 100 times the speed of light. Got up there. He comes back. And they beheld him by his feet. And then another time he goes to the Mount of Olives. And he's standing on top of the Mount of Olives talking to his disciples up there on the top. And all of a sudden he goes straight on up.
Amen.
And these angels are looking at them boys. And they said, why do you stand looking up into heaven? Well, that's a stupid question. I mean, think about it. You just don't see somebody go straight up in the air every day. Have you?
No.
I don't either. If you all of a sudden, I was standing here, and you all was looking at me, and I went shoop, right up through that roof, you go. You wouldn't sit there and go, Everybody be going around here going, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Well, they're staring up in heaven. The ascent by which he went up. Man, I mean, Jesus went, shoo. And guess what? He says, if I go, and he went, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He's not lying. His ascent by which he went up, I'm going up. You say, well, 40 days, and then you get to walk around, and grandma's got a cripple. I don't believe a word of it. If you believe that, you're stupid. All right? I try to help everybody out I can, you know, with a little significance there. But, I mean, we're going up in a rapture. And he's coming back in the clouds. He's going to say, come up hither. We're going to hit them clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The ascent by which he went up. That's a blessing. I'm going up. You're going up if you're saved. Some of you have got my doubts already. Amen. Now look, we got to hurry up on down there. Look at down to verse 8. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants. He got a happy servants. Now bless my soul, some of you look like you've been baptized in lemon juice, man. I mean, you've been sour. You know, man. I got an old boy at Walmart. I go to Walmart and I hand out tracts, and this old geezer was there. I mean, he's old. And he's older than me. Whole white hair. And he always looked, he's got that permanent, sad, miserable looking face. And I thought, well, I'll try to encourage him, you know. And so I walked up, and here's a gospel tract. Tell you how to go to heaven, buddy. And he goes, well, I'm a Baptist preacher. I thought, my soul, don't tell anybody. Am I a good night? Man, you look like you've been run through a ringer or something like that, and you're miserable. Your cat died. Well, that wouldn't be miserable. Anyway, your dog died or something, and here you are. I thought to myself, man, don't tell anybody you're saved. Don't tell them, especially don't tell them you're a Baptist preacher. And he's trumpeting it after that, and I thought, oh, man. Some of y'all look that way. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, tell your face about it. Some of you are not in communication there. Old Charles Haddon Spurgeon one time teaching his Bible students out there, they're sitting out there, and he says, when you speak of heaven, let your face glow with a glow from heaven, and in rapture, look toward the skies. And then he said, and when you speak of hell, your normal face will do. Amen? And look on down in verse 9. I am hustling through this message. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. And listen to this. This will be a blessing. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. You know something what he just said there? God loved Israel, so he gave him Solomon for a king. Well, Jesus is a type of Solomon. I mean, Solomon type of Jesus. And you know what he just said there? He said, God loved you to give you a king named Jesus Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, you know John 3:16. You know Romans 5:8. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? God loves you, whether you realize it or not. And he said, I love you so much, I'm going to give you a good king. And that's Jesus Christ. He's a good king. And God loved you and said, I'm going to give him a good king. Amen. Now, if that don't bless your poor little old wretched heart, you know, like one guy said, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Amen. Amen. You got something wrong. Amen. Amen. And then look at verse 10, and I'm done. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Now let me tell you something. King Solomon did not need what she gave. She didn't need none of it. He didn't need any of that. My soul, he's the one that said that silver wasn't accounted anything in those days. Gold, everybody had gold stuff because silver's worth nothing there. I mean, they were so rich. The whole country was rich. Everybody had food. Everybody had nice goblets made out of gold. And I mean, now this old gal says, I'm going to give you something. So she gave him some gold. She gave him some spices. She gave him some stuff. He didn't need it, but she needed to give it. Yep. Amen. Isn't that something? Yep. Amy Carmichael said this, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I love the Lord. If you ain't giving, you're just fooling yourself. That's right. A lot of people. I think old Brother Green, Don Green up there, he was preaching to some preachers one time, And he said, I don't care what your membership is. Show me the money. Yeah. You say, well, that's pretty sorry. He said, no, you know why? He says, you can have a, I can go to rescue mission and have about as many people as here. Mm-hmm. Take up an offering, see how much you get. If people love God, they want to give, even if they don't. They don't need, God doesn't need it, but you need to give it. And if you're cotton picking so stingy, stingy and Christian ought not be used in the same sentence. And folks, I'll tell you what hurts a lot of people. You love that money. I do it facetiously. I go up there and they tell me the price of something. I go, oh, my heart, my heart. You say, why you do that? That's where your wallet is. Your money is hurting my heart. Your heart, right? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some of your heart is in your rear pocket. And some of your hearts are in your purse. Because that's where your treasure is. And this old gal, he didn't need it, but she wanted to give him some. And guess what? You ought to give God some. Now I don't know if you give God anything or not. But if you ain't been given, I'm no kidding. I don't know who gives at our church necessarily. If they're going to be a deacon or something or teach or something, I asked the treasurer, I said, do they tithe and give to missions? If she says no, then they're out. That automatically kicks them out. I'm not putting a teacher. I'm not putting a deacon. I'm not putting a trustee. You are not servant. I don't care who you are, how much you think you're spiritual. I mean, if you don't tithe and give to missions, you don't do nothing in a leadership position. Because you might infect somebody else. You got a disease, you know. Stinginess, that's what you got. Amen. But I have had happen, people leave the church, and I go to her, I say, is that going to hurt us, these people leaving? And she goes, not a bit. We had 30 people get up and walk out, not during service, they was too chicken. But they left the church after service and didn't come back. And I was like, oh, 30 folks, families. And I said, went over there and I asked my treasurer, I said, is it going to hurt us? She goes, not a bit. Them people hadn't been given. I said, boy, I wish I'd have knew that for the last sermon I preached to them. Hallelujah. That's why I don't do it. I won't spend my time jumping on, you know, these bunch of jerks that won't give. I'd say, I'm trying to feed everybody. Yeah. I'm not just, you know, skinning the sheep all the time. Yeah. I'm trying to be a feed
sheep, feed people and help them and be a blessing to them. Jack Howell said this one time. He said, preachers sometimes they take a verse and say, oh man, that'll preach. He said, who cares how to preach?
Don't help. Yeah. You ask yourself, will it help? Will it help? Amen. Let's bow our head for prayer. Now, this has been a I love Jesus Christ, I hope you do too message.
Amen.
And Jesus is the greatest. A greater than Solomon is here.